Gather us now, O God, to be with you as you are with us. Quiet our fretfulness, release us from distraction, that we might be open to receive what you give through the hearing and reading of your holy word. We ask it again, O God, gather us to be with you as you are with us. Amen. The 24th chapter of Luke's gospel just can't seem to get enough of the resurrection. In the course of 49 verses, the three Easter stories are told within all those verses. The first is a riveting account of the resurrection itself. And that story is followed by a description of an encounter of two friends of Jesus on the road to a little village called Emmaus. After the terrible events in Jerusalem, the trial and suffering and death on the cross of Jesus, their beloved, they are taking their sadness back home with them. As they walk, a stranger appears beside them. He spoke to them of the scripture, and as they came near the village, he accepted their invitation to come and to stay with them. And as they're sitting at the table having dinner, the stranger takes a piece of bread and says a blessing and breaks the bread. And in that breaking of the bread, the old translation says the scales fell off of their eyes. And they realize that the one who was with them at the table was none other than the risen Lord. The two dash back to Jerusalem. They find the disciples and their companions, and they tell them what has happened. And as they're talking about these things, Jesus comes and stands among them. And in the midst of their conversation about the resurrection, he appears. He did not knock on the door. No one had let him in. And yet there he was, surprisingly, unexpectedly real in their midst. What in the world does this mean? What in the world does it mean for us today? I would suggest it means at least this, that there is no way to keep the risen Christ out of any situation. I want you to think for a moment about whatever that situation is for you, whether that be a medical issue, a prognosis, a broken relationship, a lost job, a feeling of depression or despair, taking care of an aging parent. There is no hopeless heart. There is no barren relationship. There is no bruised or hurting place that is off limits for the resurrected Christ. As the poet John Donne put so beautifully long ago, all occasions invite his mercies, and all times are his seasons. I have a little plaque at home that says, bidden or unbidden, God is present. That is what these post-resurrection stories want to tell us so desperately. Bidden or unbidden, the Spirit of the living Christ is loose in the world and will come to us wherever we are. That's a very good thought to hold on to when God seems far away and the shadows are deep. The disciples couldn't believe that he was actually there. They were startled and terrified. They thought that they had seen a ghost. Jesus asked, "Why are you afraid? And why do you have doubts in your heart?" And they said nothing. If they had tried to explain it, surely they could not have. So why are you afraid sometimes? If you trust in God, if you believe that all things work for good for those who love the Lord, why are you ever afraid? But you are, and I am too. Why do you doubt? Why is it one day we can gather in this sanctuary and sing the Hallelujah chorus with all our hearts, and then a few days later, it all seems like a fairy tale? The promise of life after death, the assurance that love is the strongest force in the universe. Madeline L'Engle is a lifelong Christian and a writer. I take comfort in something that she wrote a long time ago. She says, "Sometimes I just know that I am going to come down with an attack of atheism again. It's like the flu, spiritual flu, I call it. I get ready to endure 3 or 4 days of doubts and deep distance from God. And then, through the grace of God," she says, "I find myself spiritually well again." Why do we doubt? Why do we fear? We just do. The disciples had no better answer. Jesus said to them, "Let me show you. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. A ghost doesn't have hands and feet or flesh and bones. See that I am here." When you are in conversation with someone and you get to the point where you understand what is being said, what do you say? You usually say, I see," and you nod your head, meaning that you get it. Jesus wanted those who loved him to get the immediate reality of new life, but not even flesh and bone could convince them. In their joy, they were still disbelieving, so Jesus moved on to plan B. Jesus asked, "Do you have anything here to eat?" Isn't that one of the most amazing questions in all the Bible? Especially for Presbyterians, right? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it in their presence. What a striking scene. It is not only here that Jesus eats food in the company of his disciples. In John's gospel, he has a huge breakfast barbecue on the beach of the Sea of Galilee. And earlier, he had broken bread and shared it with his two friends on the way to Emmaus. Barbara Brown Taylor, a wonderful writer and preacher, has speculated that maybe it is because eating is so necessary for life, and so is Jesus. Or maybe it is because sharing food is what makes us human. Most other species forage alone, so that feeding is a solitary business. But as human beings, we love eating together. Even when we are stuck alone at home with a frozen dinner, most of us will open a magazine or turn on the television or listen to music just for company. It is, at any rate, one of the clues to Jesus' presence. There is always the chance, when we are eating together, that we will discover the risen Lord in our midst. Why did he eat that fish? How did he get into the room? Who rolled the stone away? Where is he going to show up next? Easter asks 1,000 questions, which is some indication of the reality of the situation. This much we know. In mysterious and surprising ways, the risen Christ comes to us where we are. The disciples, myopic as usual, cannot see him for who he is, not even after watching him eat his supper. So he tries still another tact. He says, "Remember how it was when we talked together about the promises of the scripture? The prophets foretold that the Messiah would suffer and die and then be raised again from the dead." He opened their minds, Luke tells us, to understand the scriptures of old and how they had applied to him, to his suffering and his death and his resurrection. I love this thought, that Jesus opened their minds. I find it amazing that so many in our day preach and live out a Christianity that does exactly the opposite. A Christianity that closes minds and hardens hearts and shrinks imaginations. Jesus opened their minds, and then when their minds were open, he brought it all home directly to them, saying the message he had brought about repentance and the forgiveness of sins was to be proclaimed to all nations. And then he goes even a step further and he says, it's to be proclaimed to all nations, and they were the ones to do it. You shall be my witnesses. I am entrusting the entire enterprise to you. That surely was the most astonishing thing he had said to them all day. And we can imagine what they're thinking. Who? Us? The doubters? The fearful? Those who have very limited credentials? You are going to leave all of this in our hands? Indeed, he was. At the very beginning of my ministry, I often told a story. It is a story that has two significant flaws in it, and it took me a while to realize this. Listen and see if you can identify the flaws in the story. It's an old, rather sentimental story about the day Jesus ascended into heaven and was greeted with gladness by the angels and archangels. Tell us how you left things on earth, they ask him. And he tells them how he had entrusted his followers with the responsibility to proclaim the gospel and to carry on the great work that he had begun. And the angels were incredulous. You can't mean it, one of them said. What if they fail? Jesus answered, I have no other plan. The great thing about that story is that it leaves you and me with no place to hide. But the problem with the story is that it is incomplete. It says nothing about the gift of the power of the Holy Spirit. I am going to send you what my Father sent me. Stay where you are in the city, Jesus said. You do not have to do anything until you have been clothed by the power from on high. In other words, God will give them everything they truly need to be his witnesses. Then there is the story's failure to take into consideration the fact that God is God and that God's kingdom does not finally depend on anyone's cooperation. If every Christian church in every land collapsed tomorrow in a heap of faithlessness, Christ's great kingdom would still come on earth, the kingdom of love and light. Why? Because God is God, and the great purposes of God can never, ever be thwarted. The final outcome on the story does not rest on the shoulders of the tellers of the story. The outcome rests with God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. As a friend of mine once told me when I was feeling overwhelmed with the responsibilities of ministry, don't worry, Robin. God has already done all the heavy lifting. In the meantime, here we are with Christ's work to do, empowered by the Holy Spirit, as was Jesus Christ, and we proclaim the good news to the poor, we release captives, we give sight to the blind, we preach the good news of repentance, which means the ability to change and turn from that which makes death and hopelessness to that which makes for life and hope. We preach forgiveness of sins, that there is nothing that we have done or will ever do that God cannot forgive. That is the message to which we are to bear witness. And here we are, the congregation here in Bedford, Texas, full of Holy Spirit power with a lot of work to do for the sake of Jesus Christ. What an awesome gift. What an awesome opportunity. So I ask you this morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, what more would it take to make you believe in the resurrection than that? God has already done the heavy lifting through Christ Jesus, but getting the word around about it, that is our responsibility. May the work we do, may the mission of Emmanuel Presbyterian Church, and may the lives that we live bear witness to the living hope that is released in the world through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The gospel. Amen. Amen.